Bokchaju Palace is a palace located between the border towns of Maku and Bazargan in West Azerbaijan province, northwestern Iran. It is situated in a vast garden covering about 11 hectares. This palace was built at the end of Qajar dynasty under the orders of Iqbal Sultan Makui, one of the commanders of Muzaffaruddin Shah. Currently, the palace is a museum, also known as Kakh Muzey Maku. The palace consists of two floors that are made up of numerous halls and chambers, most of them beautifully decorated with paintings, mirrorwork, and plaster moldings. Adding to its beauty is the façade, which contains banisters and statues made of plaster. Inside the palace, you will also see gorgeous curtains, colored windows, beautiful super soft beds, as well as impressive chandeliers. Fireplaces are also terrifically adorned in flowers. The iconic landmark in West Azerbaijan province joined Iran's National Heritage List in 1996. Well, I am now in the area of the palace. You know what? I came a long way to get here, but it's worth visiting. It's a big land. I think it could take about 3 hours to visit the whole place. Wow, it's a symmetrical looking building. It's really gorgeous. I wish you were here to see this wonderful palace. Actually, it's a combination of Iranian and Western architecture. Let me get closer to the building. Oh, look! Here is a dusty carriage. It belongs to Iqbal Sultan Makui, one of the commanders of Muzaffaruddin Shah. And over there is a balcony decorated with plasterwork. Wow, it looks very beautiful. It has a set of staircase and colorful bricks. It said Iqbal Sultan Makui used to make a speech in this balcony. In an overall look, you can conclude that this building is a very magnificent sight. Those parts with an Iranian architecture are decorated with flower and bush motifs. Okay, I'm still in the garden. Here is very big. Some sections of the garden are separated with cast iron fences. Very beautiful. And here's full of trees. Berry trees? Walnut trees? Almond trees? Cherry trees, apple and apricot trees. Wow, this garden must look very beautiful in spring. In the western part of the garden, there is an oval-shaped pond. The half-paved garden holds a huge pool which feeds the surrounding plants. It's very intelligent. Though I can't take my eyes off all these beauties, I have to manage my time and take a visit to the palace. I'm at the first floor. In this floor, we have a dining room known as the Green Chamber. Wow, look at it. It is said one of the most beautiful parts of the palace is a hall called Hovuzkhane. It is also known as the Hall of Mirrors. Ceremonies were held in this hall. Let me take a look inside. Oh, mesmerizing! Beautiful mirror work on the walls. And a fountain in the middle of the hall. Of course, it attracts every soul. There are two sets of staircases on two sides of the building that reach other chambers. I wish I had time to visit those chambers. On these stairs, there are stone statues. And let me tell you something interesting. On the second floor of this building, there are dried flowers inside the wall and inside ancient glass containers like the building itself. The door and double glazed windows, the design on the windows, the wooden edge of the windows and arches are other examples of the beauty and magnificence of this building. Iranian architects are unique in the world.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Donald Trump has become the first former United States president to be charged with a crime. A grand jury in New York has indicted Trump after a years-long probe into his alleged role in covering up a hush money payment to an adult entertainer ahead of the 2016 presidential election. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, an indictment is the process when a person receives a formal notice that it is believed that they committed a crime and informs the person of the charges against them. It takes place after a grand jury examines all potential evidence to decide whether a crime was committed. If the jury decides there is enough evidence, an indictment will come. In this case, the grand jury in New York City, which has been meeting since January, indicted Trump after hearing testimony from a number of witnesses. The specific charges are not yet known, as the indictment remains under seal. Trump is expected to be arraigned on Tuesday. After months of hearing evidence concerning a $130,000 payment to adult entertainer Stormy Daniels before the 2016 presidential campaign, the grand jury voted to charge Trump. The money was reportedly meant to buy her silence about the encounter she says they had years before. Trump's former personal lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, has said he coordinated with Trump on the payments to Daniels and to a second woman, Karen Dougal. The former president has denied the affair and any wrongdoing. He said the payment was to protect his reputation from a false accusation. While the particular allegations were not disclosed, multiple U.S. media sites speculated prior to Thursday's indictment that the probable charges pertained to Trump's reimbursement of Cohen, with prosecutors charging that he falsely labeled the payments as legal expenditures. The accusation, which is ordinarily a misdemeanor, could be elevated to a felony if prosecutors link the payment to violations of election law, which limits individual payments to political candidates to $2,700 and requires them to be made public. The payment to Daniels right before the 2016 vote could be considered an illegal campaign contribution. Trump also faces felony investigations related to the 2020 election and over the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol by his supporters. Trump has rejected Daniels' claim, and his lawyer has accused her of extortion. Calling himself a completely innocent person, Trump described the indictment as the latest in a series of steps aimed at destroying his Make America Great Again movement. The former president also accused the Democrats who conducted the probe, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, of trying to hurt his electoral chances. Trump has denied any wrongdoing, describing the measure as political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. A judge is anticipated to unseal the Manhattan charges in the coming days, and Trump will be required to turn himself in to authorities. He will then appear in front of a judge and be formally charged, after which a decision will be made as to whether he should be freed on bond or taken into custody. Legal experts say that any potential trial is still at least more than a year away, raising the possibility that the former U.S. president could face a jury in a Manhattan courtroom during or even after the 2024 presidential campaign as he seeks a return to the White House. After his indictment, Trump's supporters gathered outside his Palm Beach Mar-a-Lago property in Florida to show their support for the former president.
It's totally, you've heard of witch hunt. It's not going to stop here. We've got to continue fighting for Trump because they're going to continue going after Trump because they know he can beat any Democrat they put out there. So they're going to play dirty. They're going to do all the games they can play to get rid of Trump.
Meanwhile, Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is thought to be strongly considering a 2024 presidential run, called the indictment an un-American move. In a tweet, he said the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. He also said Florida will not assist in an extradition request. In reaction to the indictment, Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence said in an interview that the indictment is an outrage.
Well, I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage. And it appears to millions of Americans to be nothing more than a political prosecution that's driven by a prosecutor who literally ran for office on a pledge to indict the former president.
Also, Trump's former United Nations ambassador and candidate for the Republican nomination, Nikki Haley, said in an interview that the indictment was more a political move than a search for justice.
You know, from everything I've seen from this New York district attorney is that this would be something he'd be doing for political points. And I think what we know is when you get into political prosecutions like this, it's more about revenge than it is about justice. And, you know, I think the country would be better off talking about things that the American public cares about than to sit there and have to deal with some revenge by some political people in New York.
Political analysts say that the indictment would put Trump in the spotlight once more and could potentially boost his election chances by focusing all the public attention back on the former president. They say Trump will try to turn his indictment to his advantage by stoking anger among core supporters over what they see as the weaponization of the justice system. Hundreds of thousands of people across France took part in protests and strikes to voice their discontent with Emmanuel Macron's use of constitutional executive powers to push through an unpopular raise of the pension age. Dubbed the Day of Action by French trade unions, Tuesday's protest was the 10th such mobilization since industrial action started in mid-January against the proposed reform, which includes raising retirement age from 62 to 64. A record number of security forces were also deployed across France amid fears of protests turning violent.
Faced with this situation, I have decided to deploy an unprecedented security force of 13,000 police officers and gendarmes, including 5,500 in Paris. 90 units of mobile forces will be deployed, a level of mobilization like never before.
As protesters staged generally peaceful marches across the country, violent clashes broke out in some areas, with security forces using indiscriminate force, including tear gas canisters and water cannons, to suppress protesters calling for Macron's ouster. The crisis has intensified due to controversy over policing tactics, with lawyers complaining about arbitrary arrests, injuries, and extreme use of force, fearing crowd control. Over 30 lawyers wrote an open letter to Le Monde on Monday, stating their great concern about what they called arbitrary arrests of hundreds of people. They accused the police of using the judicial system and arrests as a tactic to put people off protesting. Also on Saturday, Europe's leading human rights watchdog accused the French police of using excessive force against protesters. It said people angry at Macron's pension law had the right to protest peacefully and should have been protected from police brutality. Current protests are the most serious challenge to Macron since the Yellow Vest revolt 4 years ago. Polls show two-thirds of French people are against Macron's pension reform and the decision to push it through without a parliamentary vote. Iranian leaders called on the government to suspend the controversial pension bill, suggesting the use of outside mediators to reach a consensus and end the chaotic situation in the country. But the government turned down the idea, saying the cabinet is willing to discuss other policy changes, but not to review the pension bill.
They refuse mediation with us. They refuse to discuss pensions. And you want me to tell you what the compromise would be? There is no compromise for the moment. The compromise is that the government doesn't even want to discuss pensions with us, while for the 10th time we have a day of mobilization, which is extremely well attended.
We have a government which has decided not to listen to the voice of society and decided to ignore the problems of the French people. So we said to ourselves, what is our future in a society like this, with a government that despises the voice of the young people?
Nearly 2 weeks after Macron forced a new pension law through parliament using a special provision, unions have vowed no let-up in mass protests to get the government to back down.
We are going to continue the mobilizations. Today we are fighting for it to be really withdrawn, for this reform to be withdrawn. So if we can't go towards a pause and towards a mediation to discuss this reform again, we will continue the mobilizations and we will wait for the Constitutional Council to give us reason.
Public frustration at the French president's reform plans have evolved into broader anti-Macron sentiment.
We still see today in the polls that the French remain determined and are very largely in the majority. And it's Emmanuel Macron today who is losing popularity and not the social movement.
The protest movement against the pension reform has turned into the biggest domestic crisis of Macron's second mandate, with his approval rating at just 30%. Macron says the bill will come into force by the end of the year, arguing that the changes are necessary to prevent the pension system from collapse. But opponents say the overhaul is extremely unfair.
Millions of people across Germany have faced transport disruption and a cost of living mega strike. Airports and bus and train stations across Germany were at a standstill. The strikes and walkouts caused disruption for millions of people during one of the largest walkouts in decades in Europe's biggest economy. The 24-hour warning strikes were called by the Verdi Union and Railway and Transport Union, IFOG. More than 400,000 transport workers have taken part in the industrial action. Flights at 8 major airports, including those in Munich, Frankfurt and Hamburg, were affected by the strikes. The German Airports Association said that around 380,000 travelers will not be able to take off on Monday.
Well, if I had known it, I wouldn't have come here and tried. I'm a bit shocked, actually. I didn't hear of it.
Long-distance railroad services were also suspended across Germany. Hamburg, which is Germany's largest port, was also hit by the walkouts. Employers have offered 5% more wages over a period of 27 months and a one-off payment of 2,500 euros. Unions are demanding a double-digit rise and have called the proposals unacceptable amid inflation, which reached 9.3% in February. Verdi has demanded a 10.5% pay raise for its members, citing rising energy and food costs. The strikes in Germany are part of major industrial actions, which have hit major European economies, as higher food and energy prices have dented living standards.
We are on strike today because inflation is just hitting us so hard. We have been losing wages in real terms for 2 years. We can no longer afford our lives. The heating costs are extreme. The gasoline is extreme. We have to think every time we go shopping, do we take this with us or not? We need the money to finance our lives, and that's why we are here.
Strikes are never positive because they paralyze the economy in the tourist sense of the word. Nothing moves anymore. We also have to say that the wage demands may certainly be attractive for the strikers, but one thing must not be ignored. These prices will be passed on. The companies and the state will pass on the wage increases in the form of fees and higher prices. That means that inflation with these effects will certainly remain high. That is part of the truth.
For years, Germany was heavily dependent on Russia for its gas. It has now been particularly hit by higher prices, with inflation rates exceeding the euro area average in recent months. The walkout is the biggest in Germany since 1992. Persistent cost pressures have pushed central banks across Europe to a series of interest rate increases. However, Germany is not the only country to deal with massive strikes. In the UK, the government is engaged in pay disputes across several sectors, as workers demand higher wages to keep pace with surging inflation, with strikes in schools, on railways, and in hospitals taking place on a regular basis.
But there is still what's called, as you know, core inflation, which is driven by underlying demand in the economy, things like pay settlements, that's more than 6%, which I think is going to be harder to bring down. So I think there is absolutely no room for complacency, and we need to really keep our eyes on the target.
Well, I don't believe they are overreacting. I think there is still inflationary pressure in the economy. I am very concerned about it, and I think we need to keep our eye on the ball. Only a week ago, we found that inflation had actually gone up from 10.1% to 10.4%. Mm-hmm. And I think that demonstrates there can be absolutely no room for complacency.
More than 1,400 security guards at Heathrow, the UK's busiest airport, are going on a strike over the Easter holidays. The strike action will force British Airways to cancel around 32 Heathrow Airport flights per day during the Easter holidays. Annual inflation in UK shops surged to its highest in at least 18 years in March. The British retail consortium food costs alone surged 15% from a year ago. And in France, it has witnessed days of strikes and protests over the controversial pension reforms. People are angry over the overhaul, which includes raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. Protests erupted after President Emmanuel Macron, almost 2 weeks ago, pushed the new pension law through Parliament using a special provision, sidestepping any vote. Unions have vowed no let-up in mass protests to get the government to back down. The World Bank has warned overlapping crises could lead to a sharp slowdown across the globe. Analysts have warned that things could get worse, with steeper declines in potential growth if a global financial crisis or recession occurs.
For me, the banking problem is only the effect, not the cause of the problem. Our problem in this financial world is dramatic over-indebtedness. And the states would all like the banks to take these government securities into their own custody. But when interest rates are raised dramatically, the securities are worth less because the prices also fall. You have to watch out for that. So the states should finally learn to make fewer debts, otherwise we will have an unsustainable problem in the long term.
Under mounting pressure from weeks-long protests, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has finally accepted to delay his infamous judicial reforms plan.
Therefore, out of national responsibility, out of the will to prevent the rift in the nation, I have decided to suspend the second and third readings of the law in this term of the Knesset in order to allow the time to reach that wide consensus ahead of legislation during the next Knesset.
Before the announcement, Israel's Army Chief of Staff called on the regime's forces to continue to do their duty in the face of bitter divisions over the judicial plan. That's amid reports of many Israeli reservists threatening not to serve while hundreds have already skipped reserve duties. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime's embassies in other countries and major ports across the occupied territories joined massive strikes against the reforms. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis have protested over a planned overhaul of the judiciary. The reforms are backed by Prime Minister Netanyahu and his pro-settler coalition and would enable them to pick judges and limit Supreme Court's power to strike down laws. Lawmakers have already passed a reform that strips the Attorney General of the power to declare the Prime Minister unfit for office. Critics say the plans for judicial reform will weaken democracy. Israel has no written constitution, so the Supreme Court should be a vital check on the cabinet, but the court's track record on Palestinian rights is already weak. Israel's Supreme Court entrenches the occupation and government upholds laws blocking Palestinians' equal rights. It has never ruled out the legality of hundreds of Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, which are illegal under international law. Over 6 million Palestinians live under Israeli occupation and draconian military law. Palestinian citizens have inferior rights, face unequal laws, and are banned from living in 900 towns. Also, Israel's far-right cabinet banned Palestinian flags and threatened to wipe out Palestinian villages and wants more illegal settlements on their land. That's while Israel is considered an apartheid regime by leading rights groups due to its systematic denial of the rights of Palestinians. For many, the far-right Israeli cabinet's plans to weaken the judiciary and entrench the prime minister's power are just another extension of occupation and unequal treatment. Netanyahu's proposed reforms seek to rob the Israeli Supreme Court of the power to overrule decisions made by the regime's new extremist cabinet and the Knesset. Mass protests have gripped the regime since it announced the plan in January. Tens of thousands of demonstrators have faced off police in the streets for the past 12 weeks. In reaction to the ongoing crisis, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani has described the situation as a wildfire that is consuming Israel from within. He added that the attempt by Netanyahu to boost his own power has once again revealed internal fault lines in the Zionist society by stoking unprecedented street protests and clashes. According to the latest surveys, Israelis' trust in institutions has been deteriorating for some years, with only 35% of people saying they trusted the institutions quite a lot or very much in 2022.
To be honest, it's incredible. I can't believe what's going on in Israel. It's just madness. It's complete madness. All the authorities, all the people that have the from all the jurisdictions, from the militaries, from the financial sectors, from all the sectors in Israel, saying that this. Reform or whatever you call it, it is completely crazy, and Israel has become a very dangerous place to be in at the moment.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani also took Israel's Western allies, especially the U.S. and the U.K., to task for their continued support for Israel. He said it's ridiculous that the United States and Europe, especially Britain, continue to support a fake identity which is based on occupation and apartheid and use democracy as justification.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Okay, so respected brothers and sisters, welcome to the Let's Read and Recite the Quran Kareem with the students of Sevier International School. And these sessions, as you know, okay, yeah, these sessions, as you know, these sessions are held by IRIB English Radio and also in cooperation with Sevier International School Networks and especially the students of Sevier International School. So let's recite a salawat and start our class. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. Surah Al-A'la. Okay. Yes. Oh, this is a good surah. This is a good surah. We will talk about the Hamzatul Wasl and Qata. So Hamzatul Wasl, Hamzatul Qata, okay? In the first ayah, Sabbih Isma, right?
Wasl.
Ism is a noun. So if you read it alone, okay, you say Ism. You use a kasra. Ism. You remember? Like Ibn. Yeah? Imra. Next one. Alif Lam. Al-A'la. If you read it alone, like you use a fatha. Al-A'la. Right? So Hamzatul Qata is there. A'la. Right?
And there's one.
Three.
So.
Where?
Recite. Mahdi will repeat after you.
Wait, from the very beginning?
Yeah, very beginning.
Sam. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
No, don't need it.
Go on. Sam.
Okay, without Bismillah?
Yes.
You said Bismillah. You can recite it again, Bismillah.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
What if I recite and you repeat?
Yes.
No.
Okay? Because I have not recited for a long time.
Yes, please.
So, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
Look, أعلى. First one is a light sound.
أعلى.
No, do not start with A. Start with A and end with Ayn.
Yes.
Look. Hey.
A'la means up.
Say it, everyone. Do not say
A'la.
Say A. No. Mahdi, everyone say
A'la.
After me. Repeat after me.
A-I-U.
Quiet. A.
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 Now put, now join them together. A.
A.
Okay. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
Okay, the next ayah starts with a Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
So I have to put a fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl.
الذي خلق فسوى.
الذي خلق فسوى.
أحسن. Now if I join these two ayah, so I literally I have to join al-a'la, the lam of al-a'la, a'la. I have to join it to the next lam in al-ladhi. Okay, I skip that hamzatul was. So, listen and repeat. Listen and repeat.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
من هنا سين read these two ayah together.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
ما شاء الله. هذه
سبح اسمك للذي خلق فسوى.
Great. محمد يحيى.
بسم الله
سبح اسم ربك العال. سبح اسم ربك العال الذي خلق فسوى.
أحسن. محمد يحيى. محمد يحيى
سبح اسم ربك بك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
Okay, do not say سبح اسمي ما.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
Now the next ayah starts with واو and you don't need to put a فتح on the top of همزة الوصل, okay? Because you skip that one, yes? When you join two words together, you skip that همزة. It just sacrifices itself, okay? Hamzatul Was sacrifices itself, okay, to join two words together, okay. So,
والذي قدر فهدى.
والذي قدر فهدى.
I will not forgive you this time if you say والذي.
والذي.
Last time he said سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
والذي قدر فهدى.
The next ayah again starts with the same, but we have again one حمزة القطع أخرج, and the next one المرعى حمزة الوصل.
والذي أخرج المرعى.
والذي أخرج المرعى.
The next ayah we have غثاء حمزة الوصل قطع, and again أحوى حمزة
قطع.
قطع. So both we have to pronounce the same, okay? I mean the sound.
فجعله غثاء أحوى.
فجعله غثاء أحوى.
Now, inshallah, in Tajweed, when we learned, okay, inshallah, when we go to the next level, you will learn. Should I read, for example, this way?
غثاء أحوى or غثاء أحوى. Or وثاءً أحوى. Or وثاءً أحوى.
Sir, it is the second.
Or وثاءً أحوى.
Inshallah, you will learn them.
Sir, it is the third.
I cannot tell the difference. All are the same.
All are the same?
No.
Sir, listen, Muhammad, are this the same? My
no,
recitation. Look.
غثاء أحوى. غثاء أحوى.
Okay, inshallah.
But the rest are the same.
No, they were
yes,
not the same.
Yes, the rest are the same.
Okay. Next. Now look at the next ayah. سنقرئك. حمزة الوصل, right? Oh, حمزة الوصل. Yes, من حسين؟
Wait.
سنقرئك.
I don't see any Hamza. Oh, we have a Qatl.
Hamza al Qatl. We have Hamza al Qatl, okay?
Okay, we have
somebody,
a Qatl
please.
تعلق وبغارح تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So,
سنقرئك فلا تنسى.
What are you saying?
Listen
carefully and repeat.
You did wrong.
Wait, listen.
Okay.
سنقرئك فلا تنسى
سنقرئك فلا تنسى
أحسن. Next ayah, look, we have many حمزة الوصل انقطع. إيه إلا is it حمزة الوصل قطع
is it
قطع because it has حركات and it has a حمزة.
Yeah.
Next one, ما شاء
حمزة الوصل
قطع.
Yeah.
Isolated Hamza then. It is very clear it is Hamza al Qata.
Yes, very clear. Allah, you are saying that Allah is
no, Allah, yeah. Alif Lam, Allah, Alif is Hamza al Wasl.
And then
Wasl.
Allah,
innahu, very much.
Innahu. Qata or Wasl?
Qatl.
Qatl.
Two are Qatl and one Wasl.
Okay. So. Illa ma sha Allah. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى
إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى
أحسن. Okay, okay, it's enough from this sir, surah. Let's go to Surah Al-Ghashiyah.
No, Surah Al-Ghashiyah.
No,
I will ask you to read. Okay. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, next page. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, next page. Hadi. Hadi, read the first ayah and tell me what is there any Hamzatul Wasl or Qat'a? Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sir, can you read first? Then
sir, can I start?
Yes.
And then Minhaj last?
Yes, yes.
Hadi. Come on.
Hal ataka
hadith.
I read.
It's hal ataka hadith.
Hal ataka hadith ul ghashiya.
Okay, wait. He said hal ataka. So now I ask him a question. Is there any Hamza? Ataka?
No, sir. I can't see, because it is like this.
No, because Minhaj's big face is in the way.
Hal ataka? Again, read it.
Hal ataka hadithul ghashiya.
Thank you. Minhaj, say next ayah.
Wujuhun yawma idhin khashiya.
Thank you. Yawma idhin, right? Hamzatul qata. Muhammad Yahya, next ayah.
ناصية.
اوكي محمد مهدي.
تصلى نار حامية.
اوكي الحمد لله. اوكي تصلى نار حامية. The next one هادي.
تصلى نار ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع.
The previous one.
The previous one.
Yeah.
تسقى من عين آنية.
من عين آنية. أحسن. حمزة القطع. يا آنية. Thank you so much, everyone. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على
محمد.
Okay, let's recite a Quranic salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. We learned about Hamzatul Qat' and Wasl that Muhammad min Hussein named it Qatl. Hamzatul Qatl and Hamzatul Wasl, okay?
Yes.
Then, inshallah, the next sessions, we will continue some other things and points, topics about Hamzatul Qatl, okay, and Hamzatul Wasl, inshallah. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School Network. Thanks to Minhaj Hussain. Thanks to Minhaj Hussain, Hadi, Mahdi, Muhammad Yahya, and Habibullah Fasihizada.
Sayyid Hadi.
Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
It's March 30th. French riot police have fired tear gas to disperse the tense crowd of around 2,000 at the demonstration, which comes after clashes between police and water reservoir protesters in nearby Saint-Solène. The government has deployed over 3,000 police for this demonstration alone. Protesters denounce the heavy presence of police, as well as numerous arrests. The protest near Saint-Solène is just one out of many protests that have dogged the government of Emmanuel Macron in recent weeks. Since mid-January, the French government has been facing nationwide protests against its plans to raise the pension age by 2 years to 64. Millions of people have been demonstrating and joining strike action since then to show their opposition to Macron's plan. The protests have intensified since the government used special constitutional powers to bypass Parliament on a final vote on the pension bill.
So the French government decided yesterday to trigger what is known as the Article 49.3 of the Constitution, which is a special power the government has to force a vote, to force a reform through Parliament without a vote. That's something that's within its rights. The government can do it if it wants. Other governments in the past have done it before, but it's political dynamite. And of course, for the government, it's embarrassing because it shows that it hasn't got a majority in Parliament to pass its reforms.
The move has brought scenes of chaos reminiscent of unrest by supporters of the Yellow Vest movement during Macron's first term as president. According to the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin, 13,000 police had been deployed, 5,500 of them in Paris alone. The French president was supposed to have been hosting King Charles for a day of pomp and ceremony in late March, but had to cancel the state visit because of the demonstrations. On March 28th, even the Eiffel Tower, the symbol of France, closed its doors to visitors as its staff went on strike. The same day, clashes erupted between police and protesters in the western city of Nantes as public anger over pension reforms evolved into broader anti-Macron sentiment. Macron, who promised to deliver a pension system reform in his presidential campaigns, says the reform is needed to keep the country's finances in balance. Unions and opposition parties, on the other hand, say there are other ways to do that. But the problem with the Macron government is that it does not like negotiation. Meanwhile, as workers continue rolling strikes, heaps of garbage in Paris streets have become the symbol of the protests. The crisis has intensified because of controversy over policing tactics, with lawyers complaining of arbitrary arrests, injuries, and heavy-handedness during crowd control. More than 30 lawyers have recently written an open letter to Le Monde, stating their great concern over what they called arbitrary arrests of hundreds of people, accusing the police of using the judicial systems and arrests as a tactic to put people off protesting. Under the leadership of Emmanuel Macron, participating in protests in France today carries the risk of being seriously injured by rubber bullets and other dangerous weapons used by the police, a flagrant violation of human rights. Since 2018, millions of people have taken to the streets in France to demand social and economic justice. The response of the authorities has been to weaponize the law to crack down on peaceful protesters. President Macron has said he has no choice but to implement the pension reform out of economic considerations, but he has not said why he doesn't allow people to protest peacefully.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.